And then when it turns off cold again, it just feels so much more cold than it is. But anyway, you know, I guess that's kind of like what you feel whenever you you surrender to the Lord, you give your life to Christ. You've experienced all that sin in your life. You've had that for all those years, and you turn it over to Him, and that newness that you feel is, you know, it's just so great. That when Christ comes into your heart, that feeling that you have there, it's just unbelievable. But you know, the great thing about the Lord is, it says His compassions are new every, His mercies are new every morning, right? So that feeling that when you first get saved, that feeling that when Christ comes into you, that newness that you can feel that every day. Every morning when you wake up, His mercies are new every day. Great is thy faithfulness, the scriptures say in Lamentations, right? So you can have that experience every day. And that's one of the great things about being a child of God is that every morning you wake up new, His mercies is great, His compassion is new every morning. Amen? And that's one of the reasons I love to come to the house of the Lord is just to experience that newness of life that you have every day as a child of God, experiencing that with fellow believers. All right, speaking of fellow believers, I hear you all had a great day yesterday cleaning and fellowshipping and all that. I know it was a great, great morning. Did it turn into an afternoon as well? Did you all finish up by lunchtime? All right, so they have some people working late. Pastor Aaron said a great turnout. I'm sure he'll tell more about that later. We were slaving away on the basketball court there in Lexington, so couldn't be better with you. It's kind of like the scriptures say, you know, if one is the hand and the other is the foot, right? We're all the same members of the body. So you may have been here cleaning. We were on the basketball courts serving the Lord there as well. If it makes you feel any better, we won the tournament. How about that? Yeah. Bethel Blue Flames came away champions there. We played at Asbury University, and the Blue Flames came out winners there. We had some sickness. We had injuries. So we were shorthanded, but came out on top anyway. And so thank the Lord for that. This is probably going to embarrass him a little bit, but Matthew DeSalle, that is his first year playing. He scored his first points as a Blue Flame on the tournament on Friday night, so let's give him a hand there. All right, let's get ready to worship the Lord this morning. If you would stand. I know we got people coming in. The snow has hindered a lot of people coming in this morning, but they'll be here shortly. They'll be here shortly, right? All right. Let's just turn this service over to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house and experience those mercies that are new every morning. We can experience the greatness of your faithfulness every day. We thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we turn this service over to you, Lord. We say, as we do every week, have your way today, Lord, in this service, in our hearts, and everything about this day here at Bethel Fellowship. In your name we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The chains to break. I'm not waiting for the prison to open. I am free by the wonder of the cross. Jesus did it. It is finished. I'm not waiting for the mountain to move. I'm not waiting for addiction to lose. I am free by the power of the cross. Jesus did it. It is finished. 'Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it, it is finished. 'Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it, it is finished. Jesus did it. So I'm not waiting for the fear to leave. I'm not waiting for depression to flee. Yes, I am whole by the wonder the cross Jesus did it. It is finished. I'm not waiting for the seed to part. No, I'm not waiting for my healing to start. I am whole by the wonder the cross Jesus did it. It is finished. Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it, it is finished. Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it, it is finished. It is finished. Shame and brokenness, hello joy and happiness. Goodbye lies and questioning, Jesus did it, it is finished. So goodbye fear and anxiety, hello joy and perfect peace. Goodbye lies and questioning, Jesus did it, it is finished. So goodbye shame and brokenness. Oh, hello, joy and happiness. Goodbye, lies and questioning. Jesus did it, it is finished. So goodbye, fear and anxiety. And hello, joy and perfect peace. Goodbye, lies and questioning. Jesus did it is finished. Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it is finished. Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it is finished. So goodbye shame and brokenness. Oh, hello joy and happiness. Goodbye lies and questioning. Jesus did it is finished. So goodbye fear and anxiety. Oh, hello joy and perfect peace. Goodbye lies and questioning. Jesus did it is finished. Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it is finished. Cause when Christ got up, I got up too. Hell lost its grip, hell had to lose. I said yes to Jesus, and everything changed. Jesus did it is finished. Jesus did it is you. King with dominion over death, and he holds the keys. In his holy nails scarred hands, and he is a heel that has crushed the serpent's head. A resurrected great I am. So I call you Jesus, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior. You're worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones wave. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell shake. Every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones wave. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell shake. Every time I call your name. Oh, every time I call your name. Where, oh death, is now your sting, and where, oh grave, your victory? Where, oh death, is now your sting, and where, oh grave, your victory? So dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name. Jesus, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name, oh, every time I call your name, every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones wake. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell shake. Every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones wake. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell shake. Every time I call your name, Lord, every time I call your name. Is now your sting, and where, oh grave, your victory? Where, oh death, is now your sting, and where, oh grave? dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in your name. 'Cause I call you Jesus. I call you. I call you healer. Risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. But every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. Lord, every time I call your name. Oh, every time I call your name. You change everything. Lies healed. Hope is found here right now. Oh, Jesus, you change everything. Change. Jesus changes everything. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Oh, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Oh, you have no rival. You have no equal. And now and what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Still now, my sin is great. Your love was greater. Oh, what could separate us now? What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. They're roaring. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Oh, you have no rival. You have no equal. And now and forever, God, you reign. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is.
against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
You know, I asked Pastor Aaron if I could share. I know things are going over and over in our spirit, and every time at this time of year, we're all pumped inward. We got a new year coming, right? And I'm kind of seasoned, and so I've been through a lot of new years. And I don't know, this year I was sharing with Todd, I'm just hearing different things from different ministers or whatever, but in my prayer time with the Lord, He gave me a scripture I'm going to read to you in just a moment. But before that, I heard Sean, I think it's Fauch, however you say his name. He's a worshiper. He's the guy that during 2020, he was on the beaches worshiping, if you can remember that story. He's a great worship leader. And he said, I really sense that this is the year of revolution. And that hit my spirit. And I said, Lord, I'm going to read you because I'm not real smart all the time. I understand revolution. I know what it means when I think of people and movements and things that went on. But this is the definition of revolution. And I want you to hear me because I believe God is wanting to do something here this morning in your heart as far as shifts, as far as changing things. And it says, a revolution is a fundamental, rapid, and often dramatic change in power, social structure, or a way of doing things, usually involving a large group of people overthrowing an old system to create a new one, or a major shift in technology, ideas, or culture. And I really believe, I want to get to the scripture real quick, that God is speaking to many in this room, that you've had many New Year resolutions. You've had many moments at the beginning of the year where you're fasting, where you're saying, God, what, God? And I really believe this is a word for you this morning, that God wants to begin to move and to shift you into a revolution where you begin to change your atmosphere, maybe outside, I don't know, but whatever God's doing in it. And I have a scripture for you. It's Isaiah 42. And this morning, as we pray, as we're worshiping, that song there says, death cannot hold you, God. And God is speaking to us this morning, even spiritually, that it's time for us to stop being held back. It's time for us to begin to move in a movement for God. Did you see Venezuela? Did you see Iran? The people are standing up. The people are fighting back. And that's where the church should be as a whole and individually also. That enough is enough is enough. Those people have been, Venezuela and Iran have been oppressed for years. If I got Miss Deanna up here, she could tell you story after story in her own personal family and life of the oppression. And we sit here as Americans, me first, spoiled and comfortable. And it's time for us to move out in a revolution and say, I will not be oppressed any longer. I will not be held back any longer. I will not be depressed or anxious or worried or fearful. My children will serve the Lord. My prodigals are coming home. Amen. I mean, it's time to move out and begin to intercede and stand in the gap and say, no more, devil. No more sickness and disease for me. I've been oppressed. I mean, I was oppressed for 2 years. When I say that, all I mean is I was sick for 2 years where the enemy tried to take me out. And Todd and I fought, and many of you fought with us. And we said, this is a revolution. You will not hold me back, devil. And then honestly, and I know this is on the radio, but we were in an atmosphere where we were held back. There was no freedom. And now we're here. And Pastor Aaron gave me the mic. So here we are. And we're saying, God, revolutionize me. Revolutionize this church, God, the body of Christ, so that we can move. It's time. It's time. There's not much time left for us to move. This is what Isaiah 42 says, and I want you to hear it. We could just turn it down just a little bit, just because I can't hear. Maybe it's my hearing. Just keep playing, please, but just a little bit. I want you to just close your eyes and hear the Lord. I want you to lift your hands and say, that's me, God. This is the Jehovah God speaking to you. This is what God Yahweh says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and life to those who walk in it. I, Yahweh, have called you for a righteous purpose. I'm going to say that again. I, Yahweh, have called you, yes, every one of you in this room, for a righteous purpose. And I will hold you by your hand, and I will keep you and appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations. It's enough about being about ourselves. You know, when you don't feel good, it's all about you. Everything hurts. It just, and then after a while, you're like, you know, I had enough of this. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to begin to just take steps to walk out my healing. And God says, I will hold you by your hand. I will keep you and appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations. God needs you in order to open blind eyes. There's so many dark eyes, blinded eyes around us. There's so much darkness around us. To bring out prisoners from the pit or from the dungeon, and those sitting in darkness from the prison houses. How many people around this area here are in houses in a dark place? And we sit in our comfortable houses. Me first, please know that God is convicting me in this area. I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or praise to idols. Listen to this. The past events have indeed happened. Now I declare new events. Come on, say that with me. Now God declares new events. The past is over. The past of how we've done church, the past of how we've lived our life, the past of how we've worshiped, the past of how we've evangelized. God is saying to us, it's a revolution that needs to take place. Now I declare new events. I announce them to you before they occur. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea with all that fills it. Your islands and your inhabitants. Now let me go back real quick if I can do that. I know I'm taking time. Hold on just a second. Because I want us to begin to pray. If that's okay, Pastor Aaron. Okay, hold on. A revolution. Now listen to this after you just heard that scripture. A fundamental, rapid, and often dramatic change in power. We're taking back our ground, right? We're taking back what the enemy stole from us. Has the enemy stole your family members? Has the enemy stole your marriage? Has the enemy stole your health? Has the enemy stole your children? A change in power, social structure, or a way of doing things, usually involving a large group of people overthrowing an old system to create a new one, or a major shift in culture. It's time for us. It's time for us. Can you worship with God with me? It says to sing a new song and receive what God says. If you want to come to this altar, I don't know what you need to do. If you want to stay right where you are, all I know is you need to do something different. There's an old saying that says, if you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. Maybe you've never come down to the altar of God. Maybe you've never fasted. Maybe you've never laid hands on someone and watched them be healed. But that's about to shift in power for you. That's about to change for you. So let's lift our hands and begin to worship God and begin to say, Jesus, Lord, we are ready for a revolution. God, we are ready for change. Come on, are you serious? Come on, just lift your hands and worship Him and say, God, help me in this time. God, I need Your power. I need to know how to shift. I need to know what else I need to do, God. Oh, come on, worship Him. Come on, let the Spirit of God just begin to rise up within you. Pray in tongues with me this morning. Come on, just let it rise. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We worship You, God. Death could not hold You. Veil nor a gate. Silence the most of sin. Come on, worship the God.
The heavens are roaring. The praise of Your glory. For You are raised to life again.
Come on, worship Him.
Oh, You have no rival.
Let begin to drop
you
ideas in Your mind.
Equal.
Lord, I pray
now
that You give them dreams and visions.
God,
I pray You give them visions and dreams in the night, oh God. I thank You for new ideas, God. I thank You for labors into the harvest, oh God. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. Receive it right now. Come on, receive what God's imparting into you. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Father. We worship You, Father. Thank You, Jesus.
What a powerful name.
We worship You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Father. I thank You, Father. Come on, worship
the
Him.
Name.
David, I want you just begin to move out in what you said was a desire in your heart. If you need prayer this morning, if you want direction, I want you to come, men of God. The men of God, come. And I want David to begin to lay hands on you and the power and the Spirit of God that is within him. Are we okay, Pastor Aaron? Are you okay? Okay. Come on. Come on, men of God. You need direction this morning. Come on. You need purpose this morning. And I know David has a word. I've put him on the spot, but that's okay. This is what God wants. Moving and shifting.
God, I thank You for this man. I thank You for this leader. Lord, the spiritual father, God. I thank You for the family that he has, Lord, and the legacy that he'll leave. Lord, I say, Lord, I ask You to just give us boldness to go out, Lord, as we've waited in the upper room for Your direction, Lord. I feel like You're finally giving it, and we got this expectation that You're about to do something, Lord. Those who've waited on You and those who sought Your face and read Your word and studied, I know, like Todd has here, he's been studying for years, and maybe at times he feels like there's still just something missing. But Todd, I say to you, like your wife just said to all of us, something's about to shift in your life. And all of us, we're about to get to go out and see the days that they got to see in Acts. We're getting ready to get to just go out, and it's going to feel so natural to just go up to strangers and start speaking into their lives and prophesying over them in the streets and blessing them and counseling them. I say that to you, Todd. You're a counselor. It's time to step up in your calling and counsel the young. I thank You, God, for his life. I thank You for his leadership. I thank You for the inspiration that he's had on so many of us. And I feel like he's just like a symbol, like a touching point in here. There's men all in here, and women too, and children even. Even out of the mouths of babes, he's perfected praise. And even my daughter was the one that was like, Dad, let's go to Bethel this morning. I was going to visit another church. And she said, I really want to go to Bethel. And as soon as I step in, I feel Your presence, God. And I know that this is my home. And I thank You, Lord. As a friend texted me last night, he said, I finally found a home church. And it's not this one, but I just rejoiced with him because it feels so good to have a home. But Lord, I know that You're sending us out into the streets because it's not meant to be kept in four walls. And now is the time to go out into the highways and byways and declare Your goodness in the earth. God, help us to fast and pray. Help us to be obedient and not be timid or afraid. God, even if it costs us everything, even our own lives, Lord, help us be willing. For that's how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love our lives not unto death, or unto prison, or unto losing jobs, or houses, or cars, that we'd be willing to do whatever you say. And that's where freedom is. Lord, as Crystal did, like pointing the finger at herself too, like I was ordained as an evangelist in 2008, but I feel like I've done nothing for your kingdom, hardly. Like you said, some will bear 30 fruit, some 60, and some 100, but I feel like I haven't borne any fruit, hardly. But times are about to change with this revolution. We're about to. The Lord says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'd send out laborers into the harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So here's a few of us here, Lord, and we pray that you'd send us out. Lord, even 30-fold would be great. I studied that and it said that was a great harvest in that day. But some 60 and some 100, I pray for our pastor and leadership, that they would bear 100, God, and that souls would come in to be saved, and lives transformed, and mental health restored. God, bring it in 2026. Lord, I know that you're waiting on us to move. Sometimes we say we're waiting on the Lord, but often you're waiting on us to just move. And I pray that you give us strength. Give us strength this day. I don't know why my legs are shaking so hard. I've never had this. But I feel like it means I just need to run. Not in here, but I need to run out these doors and like really do the work that they were doing in Acts. Like I don't think there's going to be that much healing inside of our four walls. Maybe there is. That'd be great. But I think there's a lot of healing out there. There's a lot. If you'll just go up to that person in public and just start praying for them, like Pastor and Jacob and others have been doing. And I've been too afraid. It feels too awkward. But here lately, God's given me boldness. Because I've asked for it for so long and finally fasted and said, like Crystal said, that it's time to move. It's time to for a revolution. Like, just be willing to change something. Be willing to step out. So, Lord, as a body, we agree this morning that that begins today. Yesterday is gone. And that begins today, where we step out and serve you and obey no matter what the cost. And most likely it's going to be so good. Like, I'm going to tell a quick testimony. I thank you for Todd, in Jesus' name. Yesterday, me and Haven were passing out tracts. I got to sit down. I'm sorry. We're passing out tracts in Litchfield, and with these tracts, I put a $10 Subway gift card in each one. So to get rid of that awkwardness of going up to a stranger, I say, hey, do you like Subway? And they're like, I love Subway. So I'm like, me too. And there's like, here's a $10 Subway gift card, but you have to read the tract. And they're like, okay. And a lot of them would read it right there, and I wasn't trying to, but I gave the guy that was going to change my oil one, and then I came back to get my Jeep, and he was like, I was like, how much? And he was like, it's free. I'm not going to charge it. And I was like, what? But before, I was like, it was a $10 gift card. That was an $80 oil change with a rotate and balance and all that. But it's crazy to me, because right before that happened, I said, Lord, I can't afford to keep doing these $10 gift cards all the time, because I want to give 100 out a day. That would be fun. Like, me and Haven and Kate the other day, we were hooked. Like, it was so fun. And right before I went to the oil change place, I was like, Lord, like, I can't, you know, keep buying these, right? I got to pay my bills and stuff. And he was like, I'm going to take care of you if you keep doing this. Like, I felt that so strong. He was like, I'm going to take care of you if you keep doing this. And then when that guy said, you're not paying for this oil change, I was just like, Lord, you are so good. Like, that's how it's going to be, y'all. That's how it's going to be if we'll just go out. There'll be so many miracles. It'll be fun. Thank you, guys.
Amen and amen. And I just want to affirm this morning the word that David gave. I thought it was a word just for me. So, but there are a number of people here this morning that you have been seeking the Lord. You have been wondering, what's next for me, God? What do you have next for me? What's coming next? Or maybe you've been wondering, like, God, like things have not turned out the way that I thought they were going to do. This is not what was to happen. This is not where I was supposed to be. But the Lord would say to all of us this morning that He is bringing clarity to your life this in this season, in this new year. He is bringing clarity. He is showing you why those things are happening, and He is showing you where He wants you to be and what He wants you to do. And we just give Him praise and we give Him glory for loving us enough to speak to us and to speak into the intimate details of our lives. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And as we get ready to do our offering this morning, I just would challenge us to think about our words. Think about the things that we're speaking to and over the people in our lives. The things that we're speaking to and over the ourselves. As we're getting ready in the morning, as we're looking in the mirror, as we're driving in the car, we need to make sure that we're thinking that our thought life is righteous and holy. And if it's not, then we need to say, God, I repent and I ask you to change my thoughts and to change my words so that they line up with your word. That's why we speak over the offering every week. We're not doing this just to be religious or to have something to do, but there's power in our words, and we're coming to an agreement with the word of God. And because of that, God is going to do powerful and wonderful things in our lives as we give. Let's pray over the offering this morning. Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you this morning because you are a magnificent, amazing, and a wonderful God. And you are worthy of our worship. And Lord, as we come to bring our tithes and our offerings this morning, we do so, God, because everything that we have belongs to you anyways. And we just rejoice that we get to give back and that we get to invest in your kingdom. So we give you thanks and we give you praise for all things this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let's stand for the offering, please. As we receive today's tithes and offerings, we are believing you for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, miracles created, dreams, visions, and angelic visitations, jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessings and increase to go to the nations for souls and more souls. Thank you, Father, that as I join my value system with yours, with favor and blessing, so that we may have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus receive his full reward. Amen. You all come.
Come on, serve a good God, don't we? Come on, we serve a good God, don't we?
All righty. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? Oh, we can do better than that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. A couple of quick announcements before we get going. What great words. Miss Crystal was dancing on some of my sermon quite a bit there. And so she was preaching before me here. And right, I believe it was right on. There is a revolution in the spirit. God's people is arising. Amen. We're going to invite you out. We'll have regular service this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night on the 21st, we'll have Bishop Lance Johnson with us here for revival night on the 21st. And the 22nd, we'll have a men's gathering. So Brother Lance will be with us both nights. It's going to be great. Excited for what God has in store for a Wednesday night, starting at 6:30. It's for everybody. And then for men on that Thursday night, we're going to have a chili potluck beginning at 6 p.m. And then we're going to come seek the Lord and trust Him to pour His Spirit out on a group of men. Amen. And so we're excited about those 2 days. Also in February, we have a dear friend of ours coming in to minister. He was going to kind of try to come in for a whole weekend. We just couldn't make it work in February for a whole weekend. So we're going to do the 22nd. He'll be here to minister. His name is Brother Waleed Zaru, just a dear friend, grown really close to my family and to Hannah's family through the radio. Just tremendous man and woman of God. I think he'll bring his wife with him. And so excited for that. He's an evangelist at heart. So he's going to be preaching for us the 22nd. And then he's going to come back in April for evangelism training. And we'll be doing a whole weekend full of evangelism training, equipping, impartation, releasing. We'll be sending teams out. He'll be bringing, he wrote a book not too long ago. He's just going to bring a bunch there for everybody there who wants to go through that training. And then also coinciding that, because I think what Miss Crystal and even David and all them are saying here is that so often we expect things just to produce and just to happen. But God's waiting on us to move. Let me just affirm this for a second. Just going up to somebody saying Jesus loves you is not sharing the gospel. Okay? I'm trying to be nice. But if I can walk up to anybody and I can go up to anybody and say Jesus loves you, and if I don't share the gospel, what I did is affirm them and position them in their sin. Jesus loved you enough to bring you out of your sin, and He's trying to give you a new heart. And you are dead in your trespasses and sin. We got to share the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about going up with the megaphone and like telling everybody around you you're going to hell and just burn. Like, no, but we've got to share the gospel. We got to unpack it. We got to, as the New Testament over and over said, the way. Shared the way. They followed in the way. They followed Jesus. If the gospel is not, like, the real gospel makes everybody respond. Like, everybody's going to have a response to the gospel. You reject it or you accept it. But the gospel is going to do something. And so that's just where we're at. And so along with what Brother Waleed's doing, we're going to be releasing a book from the house on the gospel too. And it'll be a diverse book. It'll be able to, we'll be able to just send it in a PDF file. It's going to be a free book. We're writing it. It'll be about 60 to 80 pages, purposely short. So if somebody gets born again or you need to share the gospel and you don't know how to articulate it, you'll be able to give it to them. But it'll be also like a tool in your hand that you can read, study, and help you share the gospel with others too. So we're working on that in-house. We'll be releasing that book hopefully by April when Waleed comes in, and excited for that too, because we want to get the tools in everybody's hands to share the gospel. Who has family members you need to share the gospel with? How many of us struggle sharing the gospel? Yeah, we do. And so we want to, I do too. And so we're always growing and learning how to share the gospel more effectively. Speaking of the gospel, this is the series we're in. I noticed on the slides that somehow an E got before the V. I know how to spell deliver, but in all the slides on the bottom right, you're going to see it misspelled, and I can't fix it right now. So just deal with it in Jesus' name. All right. Ignore it if it bothers you that bad. We're going to talk today about Jesus the Deliverer. Last week we started a 4-week series. The first week was Jesus the Victor, Colossians 2:15. Today's Jesus the Deliverer, that Jesus sets us free, not just from the penalty, but from the power and dominion of sin, death, and the grave. Next week we're going to be talking about Jesus the Shepherd, that He is sanctifying, that He's purifying, that He's growing us. He's building His church. When He builds His church, He's building us, amen, because we are the church. The building is not the church. This is just an Ephesus. This is just a building. Who's the church? We are. So when he's building his church, he's building us. He's multiplying. He's adding to us daily. And then, of course, the last week of the month, we'll be doing Jesus, the King of Kings, Revelation 19, 16. There's coming a day when he's redeeming us personally, but he's also redeeming the cosmos, the universe, the whole earth. He's redeeming it. Romans 8 is so pivotal to that. We'll talk about what it's going to look like in the redemption of all things and that day of redemption. Now tell me somebody before I get any farther and we open our text and read all this good stuff, is it working this week? Because everybody scanned it last week and I forgot to set the permission right, so until after church nobody had access. So if the notes, can somebody just confirm you can get into them before they're chicken scratch? So don't expect anything. Like, this is not polished, it's not edited. This is literally just me in my office working on my own notes. So there it is. Romans chapter 11, verse 26 through 27 is where we're going to read this morning. So if you will, let's stand up and honor the word of the Lord, and then we're going to pray, and we'll get right into the word. I only have 11 pages of notes, not 14 this week, so it shouldn't be as long, but no promises. So let's honor the word of the Lord as we thank you for standing. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Now, I know some of you all want me to talk on this the whole morning. I'm not. I'll visit it one or two more times. That's just my text to rock it off of. But put your hand on your heart and let's pray. Lord, speak to me this morning. May you open my ears and open my heart to receive the word. Put your hand on your neighbor and pray for them as we do every Sunday. Lord, just touch my neighbor. Open their hearts. May the word of the Lord not just go in their ear, but let it penetrate the depths of their heart, that they may not just be a hearer, but they may be a doer. Stretch your hands toward me and ask the Lord to speak through me, and that I'd only speak truth and be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do so. And then finally, as we do every Sunday morning, stretch your hand towards the empty pew next to you and say, Lord, fill it with the soul hungry for the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, add your anointing to the Word. Amen. So again, last week we started the series talking about Jesus the Victor. This was the best definition I could find in all the theological dictionaries and all the textbooks and all that kind of good stuff I have in my office. GotQuestions.org had the best definition of the gospel that I could literally find. And I searched, and it's long and it's lengthy. We read it last week, but we're going to read it again this week, and this will be in the notes so you don't have to write anything down. I just think it's incredible, the summation of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God loves the world enough to give his only son to die for our sin. The gospel is good news because our salvation and eternal life and home in heaven are guaranteed through Christ. Excuse me. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. The gospel is good news when we understand that we do not and cannot earn our salvation. The work of redemption and justification is complete, having been finished on the cross. Jesus is the propitiation, which for those who may not know what propitiation means, he satisfied the wrath that was due unto me. The payment that I owed has been satisfied. He has propitiated us for our sins. The gospel is the good news that we, who were once enemies of God, have been reconciled by the blood of Jesus and adopted into the family of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we shall be called children of God. And that is what we are. The gospel is the good news that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 5:9 tells us this, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We talked last week in depth about the separation of the Father unto us and what Adam and Eve, when they sinned, it was not just their sin that they were committing. They were actually introducing us all into what we would call fallen nature, fallenness, original sin. I think it's Romans 5:12 that says, through one man's sin, death entered the world. Death entered the world into us. We, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, are dead in our trespasses of sin. We are by nature children of wrath. We are not all children of God. We are only children of God when we are born again. Not everybody on the earth is a son and daughter of the Most High God. They may have been made in His image, but they are not His unless they have been blood bought, born again, and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? To them that believe, He gave them power to become sons of God. Not everybody is a child of God. Ephesians 2 again, by nature we were children of wrath, children of the disobedient one. Jesus looks at the Pharisees and says, you don't know me because you don't know my dad, because your dad is the devil. That's what He told the Pharisees. Doesn't sound like He's calling them a child of God. He's calling them a son of the devil. And just like Ephesians 2 teaches us. So this week we're going to focus on a new aspect of Jesus. Jesus as deliverer. We just learned the power and the result of sin and the iniquity in our life. Sin is in our life causes separation from God. It causes His face to hide from us. Spiritual and physical death, broken relationships, guilt, shame, condemnation, and ultimately judgment. It is affecting individuals, humanity, and even the natural world. Romans 8 reminds us that the earth itself is groaning in travail, waiting on the manifestations of the sons of God. The earth itself is waiting on redemption. One day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21 and those who discuss that. Sin in particular, there's three parts of deliverance that we need as humans. As we need that has been affected, tormented, tortured, and destroyed by sin. First is our mind, the second is the body, and ultimately our soul. All right, we need three phases that really need to be redeemed, to be blood-bought, to be delivered. Our mind is tortured, our body is sick, and our soul is in the hands of the enemy. So sin in particular affects our mind, body, and soul. Mind, to the mind and the effects of sin, sin impacts our mind with corrupting thought patterns. Anybody ever been there before? It's just reciprocal cycle of bad strongholds and bad thought patterns. Building strongholds in the mind leads and seduces us into self-centeredness, distorts desires, creates spiritual blindness, binds us in addiction, and gives us extreme feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and emptiness. I was reading statistics yesterday, and the last statistic that I seen out of college-age students, in 2022, there was a study done. Over 60% of college students feel complete hopelessness. They report hopelessness. You look at the world today, what's one thing that marks society? Hopelessness. People are losing hope. It's an effect of sin on the mind and the fallenness of our world, our domain, what we live in, our mind, the effects and the decay of sin upon our life. Sin creates in our mind cycles of negative behavior and estrangement from God. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 tells us this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all cleanliness with greediness. Romans 5, 8, 5 through 8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of what? The flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If our mind is given to the flesh, if our mind is given to sinful desires, if they're given to corrupting thought patterns, if they're given to strongholds, we cannot please God with our mind and our body, because the mind will start to influence the rest of our body. We're giving ourselves to thought patterns that are unhealthy, and we are bound to that. Like, everybody just ever try to like start just like out of nowhere, just I think I'm going to think differently. Like, honestly, like, anybody just woke up in the morning and said, today I'm going to think differently? Well, it lasts till about 9. Am I wrong? Like, today I'm going to love everybody. Like, I don't care what somebody does to me. I'm going to think differently about people.
And then at 10:30 in the morning, somebody cuts you off in traffic and you have to repent for what you just thought in your mind. Or like, you're like, today, I am going to love my spouse like no one's ever loved their spouse. I mean, today, I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to think every good thought about you. I'm going to not just bless you with my mouth, I'm going to bless you in my mind. My heart is going to overflow with the glory of God. And then they walk through the house, and the husband puts his shoe in a place it don't go. And World War III just broke out, and every thought pattern you were trying to build in your mind just went out the door. Anybody ever been there? Okay, I'm not alone. Our mind, it needs deliverance. Our mind, as the Bible says, needs to be renewed. It's got to be renewed. It's got to be made new. This mind's got to be touched by the Lord. This mind's got to be influenced by the Word of God. It's got to give itself to the Word of God. We need to literally submit every thought and take it captive to Jesus Christ. Like, this mind is being hit because of the effects of sin all the time. The world wants your mind. The enemy wants your mind. Another thing that the body needs deliverance, right? Now, if you come here solely just for, like, Jesus being delivered, we're going to learn how to cast out demons today. All right? Deliverance is much bigger than just casting out demons. That is an aspect of deliverance. But you know how many times people's come to me and said, I think I need a demon out of me. Like, it happens a lot, don't it, Joe? Like, more than we probably want to confess. Like, I think I need deliverance. Sometimes there is demonization. Sometimes there is spiritual things. But a lot of times, this is what I found, it really has not much to do with demons as much as we are giving ourselves to the flesh. And we are reaping from the flesh. James reminds us that it starts out as temptation, but when we give it to ourselves, then sin in its fullness creates death. But so often, what we need deliverance from is not really a demon. What we need deliverance from is our flesh. We've got to stop giving ourselves to it. We need help. Got one help. I'm here. I'm just preaching to myself this morning. I don't know about you, but I need help. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. He's like, man, with my mind, I want to serve the Lord, but these stupid hands don't always agree with it. Anybody ever been there? There's a war. There is a war. Body. Sickness is everywhere in the earth today. Germs, flu, pneumonia, cancer, diabetes. Now, again, we unpacked this in its depth on Wednesday night as much as we could in 25 minutes for the theology of sickness and healing and all that good stuff. So much as we could in 20 minutes. But sickness is not always like, Kaylee sinned yesterday, so now God gave her the flu. Okay, that's not what we're saying. But all sin has been, all sickness is an introduction by, I mean, been introduced by what? Sin. All sickness, all disease, everything is a result from the fall and sin. Germs didn't exist prior to the fall. They were a judgment. They were the spiritual death, the physical death. I don't believe that Adam and Eve would ever have died if they didn't fall. And even immediately after the fall, you can see the decay of our bodies because they were living to be a 900 and something years old. And we're just like, ooh, I made it to 70. All right. Like, I roll, man. Yeah. Like, we went from 900 and something now to 70 because our bodies are not going in the right direction. They're actually going in the wrong direction. Just look at your own body. Look at your own life. Like, I'm watching, like, Ethan, who's like, what are you, Ethan? 25, and he's like jumping way up here and running and playing, and I'm just like, I'll catch up tomorrow, all right? Like, you wake up in the morning, and I said this like up before, like, you have things that are sore in your body you didn't even know existed 2 weeks ago. It's like, I didn't even know that could be sore. Anybody ever been there before? Like, in reality, our bodies, and you can take care of them all you want, and we should steward over our temple. But even Paul said that bodily exercise profited little, because as much as you steward over your temple, it will not live forever. I'm not saying go and don't exercise. I'm not saying go eat what you want, do whatever you want. But you could be like the cleanest, healthiest, most awesome, amazing person ever. Like, you would be the person that TikTok, Facebook, and Snapchat can't argue anything about your eating. You have no microplastics going into your body. You have no sweetener. You have no sugar. You got nothing. You are clean as clean gets. And guess what? One day you're still going to die. You're still going to die because we can't fix the problem with our body. I can't do it. And our body is suffering because of sin and the fall. The Bible teaches that sin brings to our bodies physical decay, downhill, uphill, sickness. Yes, again, it brings what? Death. James 1:15 teaches us this. Now, the third thing, and I'm going to hang my hat here for a minute to teach this as much as I can until my voice gives out, because it is going to give out this morning. I can feel it in my throat. The soul. Now, there's a lot of us in here that probably have a little bit of differing opinions on the soul, and we can get into the... I'm not going to get too theological, like trichotomy, dichotomy, which means you're soul and body, or you soul, body, and spirit. I'm not getting into the depths of that. There's probably going to be a lot of us maybe have different opinions about that. I believe at the innermost, what we can say is there an inner being and there's an outer being of us. There's an outer man and an inner man, correct? And I could make the argument a lot of areas that soul and spirit are interchangeable in the Hebrew and the Greek so often. But I do think there's a level of the trinitas of who we are made in the image of God. And so I'm going to try to unpack this for a second of our soul. Now, according to Genesis 35:18, we find the Bible telling us this. And it, so it was as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benaniah, but his father called him Benjamin. Now, why do I even read that? Because at this point, this person was dying, and what was being said about this person? Their soul was departing. Now, I do believe there's an aspect of your soul that gives you life. There's an innermost spirit that God breathes into man that gives light. We could skip ahead for a second, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed the man of dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils life. So the first thing God was doing in the man was breathing life. I believe that God somehow to breathe life into anything that's alive in the earth. The animal kingdom, anything that's breathing, anything that is functioning, anything that's alive, God had to breathe life into it. Life does not exist absent of God. God breathes his spirit. Jesus said, into your hands I commit my what? Spirit. And the spirit left him. So in the Old Testament, whenever the New Testament is there, and Jesus saying, my spirit left man, in the Old Testament, what we find so often is the King James using the vernacular of this, my soul left. 1 Kings 17, 19 through 23, I'm going to read this for a second. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room and where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy upon the widow of whom I lodged by killing her son? So the son is dead. He stretched himself on the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray let this child's what? So let life come back into the child. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. So what we have here is the boy was dead, his soul had left, and then literally Elijah's praying on the boy and said, let life come back into him, let the soul come back into him. So I want to separate here for a second. I'm just teaching, just bear with me. We're going to get into the preaching and everybody can shout and we can have a good old time here in a minute. But there's a soul that's a breath of God that's breathed into it. But then there's a soul that we would say is our inner man, which categorizes more of our personality, our emotions. A good definition of this is the inner life of a person. It's their seat of emotions, where your emotions set on internally, and the center of one's personality. So your soul is what makes you unique. Your soul in the innermost, in another fashion, is where your emotions sit. It's when I feel angry, when I feel upset, when I feel happy, when I feel joy, when I feel hungry. That is the soul of man. But the soul, there's, I think, a separate thing, too. That's just the life-driven force. of what's going on inside of us. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, again, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. And what happened? The breath of life came into him. And then, though, a man became a living what? Soul. I believe a soul is what differentiates us from animals. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. An animal is not a human. An animal don't have a soul like we have. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, God breathed into the lion, and the lion became a living soul. The lion's alive, but he's different than the human. Humans are not a mere human, animal. We are not part of the animal kingdom. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we are part of the animal kingdom. You know what it tells me? That I am called to have dominion over the animal kingdom. Animals are not like equivalent to you. As much as we love our dogs and our cats and all these other things. I got in trouble one time with cats. I literally got calls at the radio station over this cat deal, so I better have to be careful. All right? I got to be careful. All right? As much as we love our animals are not going to be in heaven with us because they don't have a soul. There's a difference. I'm different than an animal. You're different. A dog, a cat, as cool as they are not made in the image of God. One is made in the image of God. That's man. We have a soul. We have a soul that is precious to God. And our soul is what the enemy's after. Our soul is held captive by him. Our soul is so precious to the Lord. Let me tell you some things our inner soul does. Deuteronomy 12:20. Our soul is the reason you're hungry. You desire food. When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh because thy soul longeth to eat flesh. Now you could go into some other things, but I think it's still as we eat, my soul, like the innermost part of myself. Like you ever just, who loves steak in the room? I love steak. Vegetarians, I just don't get it. I love you and I bless you, and I'm sure you're healthier than me in some aspects. But I love steak. You know what? Sometimes my soul longs for steak. Anybody ever been there? Something inside of me. It's just like that steakhouse is calling my name. And when you smell it, something's bubbling up on the inside. It is so joyful. There's something on the inward part of you that is longing that food. And then you could say, as the deer pants for the brook, so my soul pants for the Lord. And if you hunger for that steak more than you do the Lord, your soul is given to other things. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 7, we find our soul loves. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why shall I be as one that turneth aside the flocks of thy companions? Again, the first part, O thou whom my soul loveth. Think of somebody you dearly love. The writer is saying, my soul. In Psalm 63:1, we find our soul longs for God. O God, you are God alone. Early will I seek you, my soul. Something in the inward part of us is longing for. It's not the soul or the spirit, depending on how you want to say all that, that breathes life into you. It's who you are. It's who you are on the inside. My soul thirsts for you. Psalm 86:4. Rejoice the soul. He's actually commanding his soul to rejoice. Anybody ever just find it difficult to rejoice? Like, car broke down. Yes. My soul rejoices. Yeah. I wanted the steak, and it's a pathetic steak. Oh, my soul. It hurt, don't it? Not only did you pay a lot of money, you was really wanting that steak, and it's just overcooked, undercooked, not cooked, not seasoned. Psalm 193:14, our soul can comprehend and know truth and the works of God very well. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Does your soul know very well? Not just your mind. I'm not asking you to just have your thought or an like an idea of who God is, or you're just, oh yeah, I've heard about that gospel. That's really good. Does your soul know very well the works of our Lord? In Matthew 26:38, Jesus even expressed his soul as exceedingly sorrowful. In Luke 1:46, we find Mary's soul magnifying the Lord. And then finally, John the Apostle prays for Gaius in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, that his soul would prosper. Let's read that. Go to that last verse, Jackson. That's the only one I'm going to read there for the sake of time. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The deepest part of us that needs regenerated to be made new, to be made whole, is our soul. It's our soul. And we say this kind of stuff like, it's like just some kind of this mysterious thing that has to be born again. No, it's everything about the inwardness of who we are. The gospel does not just affect your hand. The gospel changes your heart. So often we have a gospel that we like to just say, oh, yeah, Jesus, I know about him. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I pray. Yes, I even fasted one time as a four-year-old. Like, all these kind of things. I don't know. Yeah, I took communion one time. I don't know what it meant, but I did it. Oh, my goodness, I even wore a T-shirt that said, Jesus loves you. I did it. I am a Christian. And yet your soul is in turmoil. Your soul is in contradiction to who the Lord is. Our soul is not submitted unto Him. Our soul is not being made new. We are not a new creature. We're just trying to put Jesus on the Christmas tree of our life and make Him another ornament. Because the true gospel doesn't just change your hand, it changes your mouth. And you know how I know that? Because out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. If your mouth's not changing, your heart's never shifted. If you're still cursing, and I'm not just talking about saying the deer, I'm talking about cursing. Everything's negative. Everything's, woe is me. You're like Eeyore's big brother. It could be a manifestation of the heart. God's wanting to revitalize, to make new, to change the soul of who you are. In today's age, we're telling people, it's okay to keep having those thoughts. You can't help it. It's okay to keep thinking about that or meditating on this or saying this or doing that. No, when you start following Jesus, when you're born again, saved, whatever you want to use, regenerated, justified, all these things, it changes you. It changes you. You don't get to stay the same and just add Jesus to the Christmas tree. You are new. The soul changes. You have been made new. The soul's got to change. Your personality, your emotions, everything inside of you will begin. Am I saying it's perfect the next day? No, but I'm saying your soul will be gravitating towards the walk this way, not staying complacent or staying back there. But yet we don't push people into that. I'm going to read this for a second, so bear with me. Again, our soul is what we are best, or who we are at the truest, deepest sense. Jesus teaches us so often, it's what's on the inside of man, not just the outside. The Bible teaches us again in Romans 8:7-8, the mind set on the flesh, our inner man. Yes, our mind, but also our mind is connected to our soul. Our soul is in essence submitted to the flesh, being fed by sinful desires. 1 Peter 2, verse 11,
teaches us that fleshly lusts war against our soul. Fleshly lusts are warring against our soul. You have one, and I mean that you have a soul, and it's in domain under the enemy prior to the regeneration, and our soul is given to sin, death, hell. The devil wants it. Sin wants to dominate it. Death wants to control it. Hell wants to captivate it for eternity. He wants to captivate, seduce the most inner part of who you are. He wants you to give your innards to sin and to thought patterns and all these things. He will fire dart after dart of fleshly desires to wreak havoc on your soul. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He's looking for one of these fiery darts to take root. Your soul, prior to the fall, is in enmity against God. I mean, prior to regeneration, is in enmity against God. You, according to Ephesians, are born into a sinful nature, sons of disobedience. We are fallen and in need of a Savior. In our fallenness, we cannot win within ourselves. Like we talked about this last week. You're never going to be the victor within yourself. It's got to be Christ. We can't beat sin. Without Jesus, we can't do it. Anybody ever tried? The best we can do is, I'm going to try to stop doing it. We can't just stop. We are slaves to sin. We are hopeless, helpless, and defeated. We are dead in sin, bound to addiction. We struggle to stop watching that, eating that, saying this, smoking this, drinking that, spending that. Does that cover just about anybody? We just can't. We want to. Sometimes. But so many times we want to. But here's our problem is we need a Savior, a deliverer. Is there anything, anyone that can help us? We were and are more broken than we could ever comprehend. The pain is deep. The addiction is strong. The trauma is real. The anxiety has taken root. The depression is captivating. The cancer is too far. The diabetes is getting worse. The blindness is never going to go away. The blood pressure won't drop. The church hurt me too deep. My dad was never there. My parents divorced too young. The doctor told me I had 3 more months to live. The heart isn't beating right. Our nation is divided. Our kids are crazy. We can't afford food. Healthcare is too high. I was assaulted as a child. Nobody wants me. Nobody loves me. I've done too much, said too many things, sinned too much. Marriage is broken. My spouse is cheating. All of these things are the thing the world is crying out. Look at the world. Look at the news. Look at social media. We need help. The Reformation, the revolution is, yes, the natural follows the spiritual so many times. And it is incredible to see God liberating people and nations starting to say, we've had enough. But when will the church say, we've had enough? Can anyone deliver us? Yes. The gospel is not there just to get us into heaven. The gospel is there to get the kingdom of God into the earth, and you are the conduit. He has delivered us just not from the penalty of sin. If the gospel is only getting out of hell, you're missing the point. The gospel is to get us out of hell, but also to get the hell out of us. The sin, the sickness, the disease, all that thing that's a result of sin. God's trying to liberate us not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power and the domain of sin. Romans 6:14 says that I am no longer a slave to sin. You know why? Because the dominion of sin has lost its root over me. I'm tired of the lie that we're just going to continue in sin and we can't help it. You can't help it, but He can. My God does not make us new and walk in a newness of life crippled. He makes me new. For when He makes somebody new, He really makes them new. He delivers us just not from the penalty of sin. He's delivered us from the power of sin. Let me just say a few scriptures, and I'm going to try to hurry.
I'm running late. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and he delivers them out of their troubles. Exodus 14:13-14, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That could be interpreted, see the deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, for the bondage and the addiction you see today, for the struggles and the trauma, the depression and anxiety you see today, you shall see again no more. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Egyptians you see today, tomorrow you will not, because God has set you free, and the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. 2 Samuel 22:2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my refuge and my deliverer. Psalm 91:14-15, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. Colossians 1:13, he delivered me from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and conveyed or transferred me into the kingdom of his beloved son. I say hallelujah. He took me from the kingdom of darkness and he placed me in the kingdom of light. In the Old Testament, we see the Lord delivering his people. God parted the Red Sea as the Pharaoh's army was behind them, mountains around them, and a sea before them. But here they go, crossing on dry land. And there goes Pharaoh's armies. The armies of Israel were up against Goliath, but God sent a David. The Lord God delivered Goliath in the hands of David and saved Israel. God raised up 300 men with Gideon and anointed this army to rout the Midianites. Daniel was put in the den of lions, but when Daniel prayed, an angel was sent to shut the mouths of the lion. Three boys by the name of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were thrown in the fires, and the king said, turn that joker up. But when the king come here the next morning thinking to see ashes, what he saw was, who put an extra man in the fire? He said, there's one that's like the Son of Man. Why? Because when his people pray, God delivers. Jehoshaphat's army was delivered after worshiping the Lord. They said, we're not going up there with the forerunners being strong militant leaders. We're going to send worshipers. We're going to put our trust in the Lord. And the army of Jehoshaphat come up there as worshiper. And then all of a sudden, the Lord said, I will deliver my people. And I'm not even going to deliver my swords. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cause the enemy's army to turn on each other and destroy themselves. My people's not even going to have to fight when I send my deliverance. Oh, my goodness, that can preach. Jonah was swallowed by a fish, but the Lord delivered it out of him. In Romans 11:26, remember what he said? My deliverer's coming out of Zion, and Israel is going to be saved, and their sins are going to be taken away. Let me just remind us today, Jesus has come. Your Savior is here. He has come out of Zion. He's defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he came to set you free, not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under what? Law, but under grace. The one who opened blind eyes, the one who cast out demons, the one who healed the lepers, the one who drove out fevers, stopped hemorrhages, the one who raised up Lazarus, the widow's son, and Jairus' daughter, the one who controls nature's calming the storms, walking on water, and catching fish out of nowhere, the one who took a sack lunch on Lunchable and fed 5,000 plus women and children. He said, let me turn that over again, and let's do 4,000 the next day. Hallelujah. And then the one who took water and turned it into wine, the one who drove demons out from a guy and they went into swine, the one who saved tax collectors, prostitutes, and religious leaders, to the one who unlocked deaf ears, the one who caused the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, and the fish to give money for taxes. Hallelujah. He is here today. Oh, three of you. Great. Maybe he's here today. I don't know. If that's our response, we don't got it. He is here.
When Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, Jesus walks into the room, drowses out the fever, destroyed the affection causing the fever, and the Bible said she immediately got up and started serving the Lord. You know what that's telling me? That when we are delivered, we are delivered. He has set us free. And the Bible says she didn't get up there, had to go through a process. The Lord set her free from the fever, drove out the infection, and she said, I feel pretty good right now, Jesus. Let me go serve this meal. There are people here today. If you're not a Christian, Jesus came and died for you. He was buried and resurrected so you could get up. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that quickened my mortal body. There is hope, there is salvation, and there is newness of life. Jesus is here to save, heal, and deliver. Today is the day of salvation, my friend. The Bible says, call upon him, profess him with your mouth. He is Lord, and believe in your heart. Jesus is here today. If to the saved in the house, to those who are followers, those who are born again, the good news that even in your life, Jesus is still setting the captives free. You're still struggling. Let me just tell you, he is here. If you're in addiction, Jesus delivers. If your family's going cray cray, Jesus delivers. If bills and all the stress of life are overwhelming you, Jesus delivers. If you're depressed, Jesus delivers. If you're anxious, Jesus delivers. If you can't stop watching that, smoking that, drinking that, Jesus delivers. If you can't stop it, Jesus delivers. If cancer's got you, Jesus delivers. Whatever's got you, Jesus delivers. If your marriage is struggling, Jesus delivers. Jesus still set the captives free. Sin has lost its dominion over you. Christ has set you free. Call upon him today. Somebody has sat in your fever too long. You stayed in your infection too long. You're proclaiming a gospel you're not living in. The Lord is saying, arise. Jesus can, does, and is still willing. Today, sin can lose its grip on you. Call out to him. Trust his power. Surrender wholly to him. Today is a day of freedom. Christ is the victor, the deliverer, the Alpha and the Omega. Stop letting everybody else write the middle story. He's Alpha, Omega, and I want him to be the middle too. I'm tired of letting the enemy run my life. And we're sitting here going, well, I haven't watched pornography. I haven't smoked anything. I haven't said a cuss word in 30 years. Yeah, but in your heart, there is still so much slander and gossip and hate and bitterness and unforgiveness. So before you judge everybody else's speck, look at the log and say, what do I need to get out of my life today? Modern day psychology wants us the victim. Woe is me. I'll never leave it. I'm helpless, hopeless. I'm a mistake. I'm an accident. Christ said he so loved you that he died for you. Christ dies, dismantles the devil and his kingdom so that you are not the victim, but you become the conqueror. You don't conquer through your own ability, your own might, or your own power. You conquer through the cross. You can't do it yourself. Why? Because you're just not strong enough, man. Sin is bigger than you. Death is bigger than you. You can never, within your own moral fortitude, stop sinning. If we could save ourselves, Jesus never needed to come. If you could do it yourself, then you need a robe like the Pharisee and the Sadducee. But when one asked, what I must do to be saved, he says, oh, I've done all the law. Well, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If it was just solely righteousness according to the law, there ain't nobody in this room even touching the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul even said to himself, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I got it all, but I count it all but dung. You know what that's in the Greek? That's saying the leftovers of your dog, basically. I'm counting all that, but my own self-righteousness, my own thing, my own abilities, my own power, my own thing. All of this, it's just dung, guys. It's just dung. He's saying it's to know Christ and Christ crucified. It's to know the power of his resurrection. To trust wholly upon him. And everything in the society today tells you to stay the victim. You deserve to be the victim.
You know what they did to you. You know what they said about you. The world owes you something because the world mistreated you so badly. And Christ is like, I'm trying to get something so inside of you that everything begins to shift. No Christian should ever get to play the victim card. You know what? This is my soapbox for 30 seconds. I'm so sick of hearing the church hurt movement. Be a pastor for about 10 years and you'll talk about church hurt. Betrayal and lies and deception. You know, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been lied on in just the last 3 years. Lied about, hated on, critiqued, this and that and this and that. If anybody gets to play a church hurt card, it's probably a pastor. But I never would play that card. Because you know why? I know just how much I need you. And I know how much you need your neighbor. And I know how much the enemy wants to prevent you from that. And all modern day society tells you, oh, church is bad. Church is bad. Yeah, take the church out of the world for a day and see where the world goes. So before you trash the church, you better check yourself before you're about to wreck yourself. Churches have done bad, but you can't quit coming to churches because somebody mistreated you. Amen? My soapbox for 30 seconds. The victim card's got to go in the gospel. You know why? All things old have passed away, and all things have become new. I know there's trauma. I know there's hurt. There's even some things you may have to work through for a little bit. But the victim card's got to go because the gospel destroys the victim card, because through the good news and the victory of the cross, he has made us overcomers, not the defeated ones. He has delivered us, our friend, my friend. The revolution is the church actually starting to live like the church. Stop living in defeat. Stop living in sin. I'm preaching to myself. I could easily just look at this wall and preach to myself and hear myself this morning, because we give into patterns. We act like our mind's not renewed. We act like our body is still just absolutely destroyed in havoc, and like we're no hope and there's helplessness and hopelessness. No, through Christ all things are possible. What's impossible, man, was possible with our God. And the same God who did all the miracles is the same God that lives in you and I. So I'm just here to remind us, Jesus is still delivering. He is still delivering from sin, the penalty, and the power. He's still delivering us from our enemies. He's still delivering from our failures. He's still delivering. Anybody can contest to this in the house? He's still setting the captives free. Jackson, I added one more verse at the end here. Heather, if you want to come to the piano. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 says this: the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Talking of Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed him, or anointed me, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to confront all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, that planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, and he shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall rise up from the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of so many generations. You know what this tells me? Christ has come to open the door of the prison. So many times the body of Christ lives in all these prisons and we don't even realize it. We live in bondage. We live in corruption. We live in sin, and we just use the words, I can't help it. Jesus has delivered us, my friend. When Jesus saves you, it's not just your mind and your body. Jesus saves your soul. And yes, we are being saved. There's all kind of theological fun we can have with all that. But you have been made new. You have been made new. The power of the gospel The good news of the gospel is, yes, the penalty of your sin has been paid for. He has propitiated our sin. The wrath that I should have paid, He paid. But it's also the domain and the power of sin has been destroyed. So as much as I was saying we can't help it, we can't do this, you can't. But through Christ, you can do all things. So I'm here to tell you today, your mind can change. Thank you, Kaylee. Your emotions can change. Your heart can change. Your addiction can change. Your family can change. Your kids, young, old, adults, doesn't matter. It can change. Jesus still saves the unsavable, does the impossible, and moves in ways that we can never comprehend. He is still going to deliver, to save, to set free, to heal. He still does it. So to the question, when I read this right here, we can't beat sin. We just can't stop. We are slaves to it. We are hopeless, helpless, and defeated. We are dead in sin, bound to addiction. Can't stop watching that, eating that, saying that, smoking that, drinking that, spending that. We just can't. We need a Savior. Is there anyone or anything that can save us? We are and we were and are more broken than we can ever comprehend. The pain is too deep. The addiction is too strong. The trauma is too real. The anxiety is too rooted. The depression is too captivating. The cancer is too far. The diabetes is getting worse. The blindness has always been. The blood pressure won't drop. The church hurt me too deep. My dad was never there. My parents divorced too young. The doctor just told me 3 more months. The heart isn't beating right. Our nation is divided. Our kids are crazy. Can't afford food. Can't afford health care. Woe is me. I was... All these things. You can keep living in that if you want. Or today, you can be set free. Today could change everything. To the Christian, today can change everything. To the non-Christian, today can change everything. We gotta stop living in the church like we're hopeless. I'll say it like this. I only have about 4 or 5 responses anyway. The day of little faith got to end. The day of compromised faith got to end. The day of no faith got to end. The day of I can't help it. It's got to go out the door. You are not the victim no more. Christ has died to make you co-victor. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand up in the house. Lord, I ask you in this house, there are things to be laid down. There are things to be laid at your feet and surrender. There's mindsets and heart issues that need to be delivered. This is not just about pornography or not just about drugs or alcohol. This is about the innermost part of our soul. Christ wants to set that free just as much as He wants to set your hand free. The trauma, the unforgiveness, the pain, the slandering, the gossip. Christ wants to take it all away. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to go find somebody in the house that you trust to pray with. And I want you to ask each other, what can I pray for you for? What do you want out of your life today that Christ needs to set you free from?
Go find somebody today. Don't be bashful. We either want freedom or we don't want freedom. If you don't want freedom, I love you and I bless you. Go to the buffet. But for some people in here that want some freedom, that want some liberty, that need some things out of your mind, heart, and soul, Christ is here to deliver. Christ is here to set free. Go find somebody today. Ask them, pray with them. Ask them, what are you praying with? What are you praying about today? What do you need out of your heart? Come on, let's move, body of Christ. Let's move. Find somebody. Pray like you believe Christ can really set them free. Pray like Christ can really set them free. Pray like you know God's the deliverer. Pray like you know Jesus is the deliverer. He is delivering souls. He's delivering emotions. He's delivering us from our hurt, our pain, our depression, and our anxiety. Christ is here to set you free today, friend.
Something has to break.